The reading this morning comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and moving to verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
I wonder what picture comes into your mind when you think about Joshua leading God's people into the promised land. Well, I have to admit that mine was a little bit inaccurate. I had this picture in my mind of this middle-aged person running around the promised land, leading the troops here, leading them there, a bit like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Do you remember him? Oh, Jay Silverheels, come back, all is forgiven. He was such a great Tonto. Anyway, I sort of had this picture of this dynamic young man rushing hither and thither, leading troops here, going there. Oh dear, what a mistake to make. I started rereading Joshua. And Moses had just died, as we heard, at the age of 120. And so, God now commands Joshua, who had been his assistant, to carry on. That was really good of God, wasn't it? Especially considering, if you do the maths, that Joshua is now in his 90s. So much for running around the land. 90? And God is asking him to lead them into the promised land. Through the battles. Making all the hard decisions. Is there no let up for people of God? He first appears as Moses' assistant in Exodus chapter 17. And that's 40 years earlier, of course. And he's already in his 50s then. And now, at this advanced age, at the beginning of the book of Joshua, he's asked to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And the whole book plays out in less than 20 years. So Exodus covers 40 years plus, and Joshua only 20 or less years. And in this time, the land is conquered in all directions, just as God had promised. We see the River Jordan crossed, with two sets of memorial stones put up, one pile of 12 in the middle of the river, and one at their campsite, so that they could reflect on God's hand helping them to get into the promised land. We see Jericho fall. We see God's covenant renewed on Mount Ebal and later again in Shechem at the end of the book. We see the land divided up so that the 12 tribes have their place to live. We find out about cities of refuge which are established in the land in case someone does something wrong accidentally and needs to take refuge. And we see the settlements, the towns that are settled for the Levites, the priests, where they can settle down and grow their crops and do whatever they need to do to survive. We also see some failures. We see the failure at Ai, when Achan and his family thought they'd do something which God had commanded them not to do. And so everything goes in chaotic pieces for a while. We also see the deception of the Gibeonites who trick the people of Israel into setting up a treaty with them, which they weren't supposed to do. And we know that they were deceived into doing it, but we do read the telling verse, they failed to consult with God first. So they had their downfalls as well. But by and large, unlike the 40 years in the wilderness that we read about in Exodus, the people follow God's commands closely and are blessed by him as a result. And at Joshua's death, at the end of the book of Joshua, aged 110, 10 short of Moses, we read, the people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord has done for Israel. So we could look at the book of Joshua as something of a success story. Now, as I've already mentioned, it's the time for New Year's resolutions. But for today, we have this to contemplate. Can we make 2020 the year of the Joshua Challenge? As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Not bad for a motto for 2020, is it? It worked for Joshua. I wonder if it will work for us this year, if we can set our mind to it. There are three major things to consider, three elements that God suggests will help to actually bring this to fruition as it did in Joshua's life. The first thing he mentions is be strong and courageous. I wonder how you feel today. Are you feeling strong and courageous? Particularly with regard to your faith, with 2020 stretching in front of you. Or are you feeling a little daunted? So many unknowns, aren't there? We just don't know. We don't know whether the Iranians will go to war with the Americans and that will spread. We don't know which bit of the world will be drought-ridden, which will be underwater. We just don't know. It's full of unknowns. Or perhaps you feel fairly confident for this year. Well, it couldn't be worse than 2019, so I suppose it'll have to be better. Might be your view on life. What exactly was it that gave Joshua the confidence at such a ripe old age that he'd be able to carry out God's plan for him? How could he be courageous at that sort of point in his life? Well, verse 9 seems to be the key. God's promise. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what God told him. And in verse 5, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. That is the grounds for us being strong and courageous. That God promises to be with us through the ups, the downs, and everything. It's a common theme, is it not, in the New Testament? In fact, Jesus' last recorded words at the end of Matthew's Gospel are, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus promised to accompany us on our faith journey at all times, in all circumstances, and this is still his promise today. So perhaps we need to be more proactive in our day-to-day living. Perhaps we need to share our good news a bit more with people. Do we need to speak out a bit more about our faith and be a bit more courageous? If someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, says Peter in his letter. Perhaps this will help us as we put this into practice in our lives. The strength and the courage that God provides will grow and grow. So the first thing is be strong and courageous because God's with us. The second key is study and meditate. Now that word study has overtones of school, doesn't it? That might put us off a little bit. But this is what he said. God said, study the book of the law continually, meditate on it day and night. I wonder how well we know God's word. Well, I was under a misconception about Joshua to start with. I even got his age wrong. How much time do you spend reading or thinking about God's word on a daily basis? Does it get fitted in occasionally when you've got a gap in your curriculum? Or is it a crucial daily aim to devote a chunk of time to looking at God's word? How important is that to you? Can we really face life's challenges on a day-to-day basis if God's word is not continually on our lips? I like the word that is used in the Hebrew for meditate. It's a word in Hebrew called haggah. And do you know what it means? It means mutter. Mutter, 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 mutter. That's what meditating is. And it brought me to mind of when we were in Israel and going through Jerusalem. And you saw the Orthodox Jews in their black, rather sort of dull gear, walking along the streets with their little reading books, going through all what they have to do. And they were going, mutter, 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 walking along the street, you know, when they're going to Tesco's or wherever. And I thought, that's what God wants us to do with his word. He wants us to take his word, to read it and go, mutter, 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 mutter. But in our head, we don't have to do it aloud. But it's that sort of, you know, really getting it into our skin. So, study and meditate. Perhaps one goal for this year could be to increase our reading of his word. Perhaps we might start a new method, a systematic reading of, I don't know. There's so many methods available to study God's word. Scripture Union have got one or two. Have a word with Simon afterwards. You can go online and read his word. Gosh, that's really the height of things. But there are plenty of helps on the market if you want to buy something and it's actually, you know, you hold in your hands, that sort of thing, as well. Perhaps join a house group if you haven't already. That might be a goal for 2020. Then you can discuss it and mutter, mutter, mutter with others. We mustn't let it become a legalistic duty. I can remember when I was a teenager thinking, right, I must sit down and do my half an hour. You know, when it becomes like that, it's not a joy, it's not a delight. Perhaps I need to drop it for a day or two and then come back to it. We need to treat it as a delight, getting into God's word. Well, it worked for Joshua, folks. It can work for us, I'm sure. So, study and meditate. That's the second thing. And the third element was obedience. Putting what we read into practice. This is what God said. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Now, Joshua, we have to admit, had a few hiccups on the way. It's true. But on a daily basis, he strove to be obedient to what God said. And if we get to grips with God's word in a new way too, with his help, we can seek to live out the life of Jesus more closely. And this is what the scripture says. Paul says this. And we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. That's our growing as Christians, becoming more and more like the Lord himself. And if people can see the Lord in us much more clearly, that's a result, folks. That is a result. So, do you want to take on this New Year's resolution? Do you want to take on this Joshua challenge for 2020? It's not a bad idea, and certainly, as New Year's resolutions go, it's a worthwhile goal. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We could do a lot worse than that. Let's aim, with God's help, in 2020, to be firstly strong and courageous. Secondly, to get to grips with his word with renewed interest and energy. And thirdly, to put this into practice in our daily living so that our impact, our Christian impact on other people, those around us that we meet day by day, reaches a new level. And to God be the glory.